All right, it's time for us to turn to our Bibles. As with the last few weeks, we are studying the full armor of God. It's on page 1347 of your pew Bible. Robert's got the scripture for us today. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18.
The word of the Lord says, "Stand therefore, having girded with waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's the word of the Lord. Amen.
Our Father, as always, we're grateful to you for your word. We come now anticipating, Lord, for you, your voice to speak to us, to equip us, Lord, for the difficult battle that is around us and ahead of us. Give us the confidence, Father, and everything we need to stand fast in the evil day. In Christ we pray, amen. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So far, what have we got? We've got the belt girt around your waist, which is truth, unchanging truth of God. We've got the breastplate, right? That is the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been imputed to those who believe, in which we can and must put all of our confidence, right? Jesus Christ is the righteous one. We've got the shoes or the boots, what are those? The good news, peace, perfect peace from God, glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We've got the shield, certainty about things that we cannot see with the naked eye, faith in the Lord and in his perfect power to do everything that he has promised, right? He is able and he will surely do it. And today, to keep your head, the helmet of salvation. I was reminded of something that Paul said to Timothy as he was preparing to leave this world. Paul, that is, and this is in his last chapter of his last letter, 2 Timothy. And it says this in the NIV, which is how I learned it. It says, "But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry." Okay, keep your head in all situations, right? Other versions, instead of having keep your head, say something like be watchful or be sober-minded or be steady. Okay, in any and every situation. Okay, definitely the sense is, you know, keep a level head, right? Protect your head. That's a very obviously critical part of the body for you to protect. Okay, so what is meant by the helmet of salvation? Okay, can you take salvation and put it on your head? And if so, how so? Okay, so there are two other passages to start with that we ought to consider. The first one is on page 854 of your pew Bible. If you're using your pew Bible, it's Isaiah 59. This will help us to interpret what Paul means here by the helmet of salvation. I read this to you a couple of weeks ago as we introduced the subject of the armor of God. So please find that, Isaiah 59, and I want to start in verse 13. And this is a passage where the people of Israel lament the awful corruption and the terrible state of their national morality. And feeling guilty before God, confessing their transgressions to him. Okay, Isaiah 59 and verse 13 reads like this, "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God and speaking oppression and revolt and conceiving and uttering from our hearts words of falsehood, justice is turned back, Righteousness stands far off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey, makes himself a target. Then the Lord saw all this. He saw this condition of the people, of his nation. It displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, right, to stand up for what's right. He marveled that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. His own righteousness sustained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. The Lord himself put on a helmet of salvation and a breastplate of righteousness, and he arose to vindicate his name and vindicate his law and to deliver the people who are the objects of his mercy. Okay, the Redeemer will come to Zion. That's what it says later in the chapter. God himself, okay, actually in the person of his son, Jesus, his Messiah, God himself will arise and go forth to battle and tread down his enemies and rescue his people. Okay, so it would seem that the helmet of salvation is a little bit different for him than it is for us. Since he, I mean, after all, what does he need armor for, right? He's God. He is omnipotent. We, far from it, right? We need lots of protection, right? We need the whole armor of God if we are going to withstand the attacks of the evil one. Whereas the Lord is invulnerable and his power is irresistible. Okay, so as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's not that the Lord himself needs armor and weapons as though they're something exterior to himself, right? These are his innate attributes that just come to the forefront when he arises to act. He doesn't have to acquire them. We do. Okay, they're external to us. We're supposed to receive these things and put them on. But for God, right, his righteousness, he doesn't have to acquire it. It comes to the fore when he arises to judge and to save. He loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. And salvation, that's what he does. Okay? He intervenes to deliver the weak and the meek and lowly out of the hand of people who are stronger than they are. Okay? And there comes a time when the Lord sees this corruption, the truth has fallen in the street, and whoever departs from evil makes himself a prey. There comes a point when the Lord says, now I will arise, now I will be exalted, I will lift myself up, and my breath as a fire shall consume the wicked, and the people shall be devoured like thorns in the fire. Okay, so to the meek, he says, straighten up your slumping shoulders, stop your wobbly knees from quaking. Say to the timid, don't fear, be strong. Behold, the Lord your God will come with vengeance. He will come and save. Right, there's our key word. He will come with salvation. Now we're talking about ultimate salvation. Okay, that's what's in view here in Isaiah. It's also what's in view in Ephesians 6:17, ultimate salvation. It is as sure as the sun is up in the sky, right? Like the Bible says, as surely as the Lord lives. This is an absolute certainty that salvation is in store for the people of God. Okay, as it says in Isaiah 59, for those who turn away from transgression. The Lord is coming, is he not? The Lord is coming to judge the earth. Jesus said, first collect the tares and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Right? Because the Son of Man will come with his angels, and they will pluck out of his kingdom everything that offends and all those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then the righteous will shine forth in their kingdom, in the kingdom of their Father, shine forth like the sun. Whoever has ears, hear the word of the Lord. Salvation, friends. Hey, the scriptures are filled, Old Testament and New, with God's declarations that he will save his people. Behold, I will arise. The day surely is coming, and it will not tarry. Okay, so that's the first passage, Isaiah 59. The other one that helps us understand this thing in Ephesians 6 is in 1 Thessalonians, written to another church. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, which if you will have a look, you will see that it says, "Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and look, as a helmet, the hope of salvation." The hope of salvation, right? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, okay, which means whether you're alive or dead at the time of Christ's coming, either way, we shall live together with him. Even if you're dead, you shall live together with him. So put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. Clearly, then, we're speaking of something that is yet to come. Okay, something not yet accomplished, something still hoped for. Okay, that means the final salvation that Christ is going to bring to us on that great day. I think you know the verse from the book of Hebrews that says that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For salvation. Okay, when he comes next, he's coming to save those who are his and bring in everlasting righteousness. Okay, so for us to take the helmet of salvation, it would not be correct then to limit our understanding of the word salvation as meaning the forgiveness of our sins only. Okay, as when I say, for example, "Are you saved?" You know, and an evangelist would say, you know, "You need to be saved. Have you been saved?" In other words, he means, do you belong to Christ? Right? Have you been washed in his blood? Have you come to the cross and received the free pardon of the Lord? Right? Have you been reconciled to God and have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Right? Have you been saved? And the believing Christian says, well, yes, of course I've been saved. I am saved. You know, I believe that Christ is the Son of God, and he came into the world to do just that, right, to save sinners, and he saved me, okay? And therefore, he thinks that he's got the helmet of salvation on, okay? But no, if that's all that was meant, you wouldn't have to put anything on, right? It would already be on. Okay, all Christians would already have the helmet of salvation already on, if that's all you mean by saved, that, you know, your sins are forgiven. Okay, Paul is telling us that we have to take the helmet of salvation, okay, which is something that takes will and intentionality, or else the devil is going to wound you in the head. Okay, so my question is, have you actually been saved? Right? I think you know, you see where I'm going with this, right? The answer is no, not yet. I am still waiting for salvation to come, right? Because right now, I'm still in this dying body, right? We still live in this morbid, decaying civilization. We still have enemies all around and growing more numerous. The evil one still hates us with a burning passion and is trying to destroy us six ways from Sunday, right? My flesh urges me to sin. I struggle with that. It wrestles against the spirit, right? I'm still in the thick of it. And that's why Paul says, who will save me from this body of death? And thanks be to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, he will appear a second time, not for sin, but for salvation. We will be saved, and this is an absolute certainty, okay? That's what it means to put your helmet on, right? To be absolutely certain that no matter what comes, God will keep that word, okay? The world may slander me. Nevertheless, I know that God will save me one way or the other. They may take away my rights. They may take away my liberty. They may put me in prison. God will still ultimately save me. They may kill me. They may dismember me. God will still ultimately save me. Okay? Even if I die and go to my grave in peace, I'm still going to need saving. Right? God will do that. The final enemy to be destroyed is death. And so we say, blessed is he who comes to bring us salvation. right? Now you put that on your head, and the devil's attacks are rather blunted. Okay, we're getting pretty well protected by now, I would hope. You know, we're encased in some pretty solid stuff, I think. Okay, and I hope you don't mind my splitting hairs, but I said, well, I don't want to suggest that, you know, you're not saved. But, you know, in another manner of speaking, you're not saved, right? Salvation is something that we yet hope for. You understand, I'm not trying to be difficult, right? But it will come, right? Sure as the Lord lives, and it's promised to us specifically because our sins are forgiven, right? And probably you've heard it more than once in your life, how salvation is past, present, and future, right? We have been saved, right? Saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved, saved from the power of sin. And we will be saved, saved from the very presence of sin, thanks to the Lord, okay? But when and only when Christ comes and raises the dead, cleanses the earth, swallows up death forever. Okay, the helmet of salvation is about the future, the final salvation, the ultimate salvation. And I would say this, even those who of our loved ones who right now are asleep in Jesus, right now are absent from the body and are present with the Lord, they still need salvation in that ultimate sense, don't they? Right? They're not entirely, that their salvation is not entirely yet realized because their bodies still lie in the grave and are subject to decay. Okay, and the scripture says in Romans 8 that we're going to be liberated from that decay into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Okay, and it says, for the present, we groan inwardly as we eagerly await that great day, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. He says, we were saved in this hope, and we eagerly wait for that with perseverance. Okay, we were saved, we will be saved. So as a helmet, the hope of salvation, the knowledge, the certainty, that day is coming. Okay, and you can see that in, again, same book, Paul's last letter, last chapter, 2 Timothy 4. You can see that hope of salvation in his final words in Scripture, where he says, 2 Timothy 4, 6, he says this, even now I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. But I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Okay, you can finally then take off your helmet and put on your crown. And right, just a few more days, Paul, you can unfasten all that armor and let it drop. You won't need it anymore. I am going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more. Okay, in that day you will say, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In that day you will say, Lord, I praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and now you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song and has become my salvation. He says, with joy you will drink water from the well of salvation. And you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things, and this is known all across the earth, that truly, O Lord God, you are the Savior. All who make idols shall be ashamed and disgraced. All of them shall go to confusion together, but Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. And so thus saith the Lord, maintain justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness soon to be revealed. Okay, not has been revealed, or else we wouldn't be groaning and struggling and praying and pleading with God for the strength that we always need, would we? It's about to come. Right? My salvation is about to come. Blessed is he who stays awake and who keeps his head in all circumstances, who stands firm to the end, because whoever endures to the end will be saved. Okay? Keeping your head in all situations. Okay, the hope of salvation is a helmet for you to take and put on, which enables you to keep your head in all situations. Right? It is well with my soul, whatever my lot. Right? Thou hast caused me to say, it is well, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when this faith shall be sight. The salvation is coming. Okay? If you ever feel frightened or anxious about things that are ahead, and you begin to lose our cool and lose sight of what's our purpose in life, okay, which is to glorify God, whether by life or by death. And you start thinking about all the things that can be taken away from us and all the sorrows and the suffering that could fall upon us. It's time for us to consider Jesus once again. Consider his example. Okay, Bible calls him the captain of our salvation. How was he made so? He was made so by first enduring the same sorts of trials that we have to endure. He had to trust God, didn't he? Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Those are his words. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Right? Lord, be not far from your servant, he prayed. O my strength, come, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword. Deliver my precious life from the power of the vicious dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild ox. Save me, he said. Right? Looking unto Jesus, who what? For the joy that was set before him, endured all of that, endured the cross, and disregarded the shame of it. I guess you could say that he did have to put the helmet of salvation on, didn't he? Okay, the hope of salvation. He knew that the Father would rescue him, right? He knew that from the get-go. We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man is going to be turned over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and scourge him and beat him and condemn him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. There it is. On the third day, he will arise. That's the helmet of salvation firmly in place. I know the Lord God will surely save me. So I gave my back to those who struck me. I turned my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and from spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will ultimately not be disgraced. And so I have set my face like a flint, for I know I will not be ashamed, for he is near who justifies me. Okay, Jesus had his helmet on, I would say, for the joy that was set before him, speedily on its way, he endured it all. Okay, Paul also, right, for the joy that was set before him, he endured all kinds of trials and difficulties and pains. Whether I live or whether I die, I aim to glorify God. Right, salvation is coming to me one way or the other. And so I endure all this so that the elect too may obtain that same salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Okay, Christ endured to the end so that we could obtain salvation. Paul, his apostle, and all the others as well, as we know, they also endured all kinds of difficulties so that we might obtain salvation, okay, for the joy that was set before them. They endured it, and there's joy set before us, okay? Your eyes will behold the King in his beauty. You will see a land that stretches far off into the distance. Behold Zion, the city of our feasts. Behold Jerusalem, the city of the great King, an untroubled habitation, an immovable tent whose stakes will never be plucked up nor its cords ever broken. There the Lord will be our majestic one, a place of broad rivers and streams where no warship will ever sail. For there the Lord will be our judge, the Lord will be our lawgiver, the Lord will be our King. He will save us. So don't rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise again. Though I'm chained in darkness, even there the Lord will be a light to me. Right? Because whosoever believeth in me, even though he dies, he will live. Have you put on the helmet of salvation? Okay, is your head protected? Are you able to keep your head in all circumstances? If not, take it and put it on. You better hurry up and put it on before the devil strikes you a blow in the head and sends you crashing, reeling, dizzy to the ground. Okay? Jesus said that as the end approaches, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold, and indeed many will fall away. Why do they fall? No helmet. Okay? They forget that deliverance is surely on its way. They don't know how to keep their head in all circumstance. Oh, I left my helmet behind. I wasn't prepared for this circumstance. Okay? That happens when you're so joined to this age that when this age starts to disintegrate and fall apart and slip through your grip, you panic and you say, oh no, anything but this. Please, nothing but this. I can't bear this loss. That's when people compromise. That's when their resolve collapses. That's when their love grows cold, right? Their trust in God begins to fail. Many, Jesus said, many will fall away. Not if you're wearing your helmet, okay? The joy set before us, the joy in store for me, the crown of life which the Lord will give to me on that day. I can take my helmet off and have my crown instead. Not only me, but to all who eagerly wait for, long for, love his appearing. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The scripture says this, lift up your eyes to the heavens, look around you on the earth beneath. Those heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment. It will wear out, and those who dwell in it will perish like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. So those of you who know righteousness, listen to my voice. My people, in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of man, nor be afraid of his insults. For the moth will chew them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Thanks be to the Lord God for his word. Blessed be his name forever and ever. Stand strong, army of God. Stand strong in the power of the Lord and of his wonderful might. Let's pray. Abba, Father, you alone are God. You are the mighty one, mighty to save. Your arm is not too short. It can save, Lord. We pray, Father, that our iniquities would be driven far from us, so that we would be close to you, Lord, that you would save us. We know, Lord God, that whatever comes down here on earth, whatever happens in our country or some other country around the world, down here on earth, up there in space, Lord, you are God. You will save your people. We belong to you, Father. Our lives are in your hands. We want to glorify you whether we live or die, or how we may die, or when we may die. Father, we know that we are yours, and you will vindicate your name and your people. And one of these days, Father, we will see you with our own eyes, in our own flesh. Come, Lord Jesus, save your people. We pray in your mighty name. Amen.